We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Floyd Street's Finest. I am Jack Grossman. Unfortunately, no Mark Lieberman today. Things happen sometimes. And, you know, unfortunately, Coach's daughter's a little bit under the weather the past couple days, so he's been pretty preoccupied with that. And you know what? As someone who knows how much my parents did when my brother and I were sick growing up, completely understandable. So, long story short, you're stuck with me today, talking Louisville and Florida State here on Floyd Street's Finest, part of the Field of 68 podcast network. You can like and subscribe on, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all that stuff there for Floyd Street's Finest, again, part of the Field of 68. Even without Coach Lieberman, I wanted to make sure to get an episode out here, considering Louisville, the way the Louisville-Florida State game went, the fact that Louisville actually played a good game, especially on the offensive end. And we haven't had many opportunities to have an overall positive episode on this podcast. So when the opportunity arises, damn it, I want to make sure I take it one way, in any way, shape, or form I can get it here. So we're going to dive into Louisville-Florida State, why the Cardinals were able to put 103 points up on the Seminoles, kind of where the matchup. Not that anyone ever thought Louisville was going to score 103, but there were some underlying things going into this game that you could have said, okay, maybe, you know, Louisville could have some success against this Florida State defense, which absolutely turned out to be true. The impact of Tyler Johnson, all those things. And, you know, we'll get to it a little bit, but does this mean anything for Louisville big picture? They kind of enter this back end of the ACC slate where they're not playing, you know, North Carolina, Duke, Wake Forest, NC State, Virginia, who blasted Miami on Monday night, 60-38. They get the rest of the ACC, the very, very bad part of the ACC. So what does that mean? We'll get to that a little bit as well. But Louisville beats Florida State, hangs 103 on the Seminoles, a Florida State team that struggled mightily in the non-conference, had a really good start to ACC play, but have now fallen, kind of reverted back to what they were doing in the non-con. I think they've lost three out of their last four now. They're not a great basketball team, but they're known more for their defense than their offense. And even though, you know, they came into the game a top 40 defense in KenPom, they play a style defensively. There's not many things that, you know, favor Louisville in matchups these days. And there's not, you know, many things that you can point to and say, okay, I feel like you have a strong chance because of this, this, and this. But looking at Florida State and what they want to do defensively, what do they want to do defensively? aggressive, full court pressing, switching defense, and being really, really aggressive. Now, what does that lead to? Florida State, you got to look at Leonard Hamilton's teams in the past, both when they were really, really good a few years ago, and even when they've struggled the last few years here. They are a team that very much says, we're going to play a lot of dudes, we're going to try to wear you down, and we're going to be very, very physical and aggressive. And what can that lead to when you're physical and aggressive? A lot of fouls. A big old-fashioned ref show. And that is what we got at the Yum Center on Saturday night. Louisville shot 45 free throws in this game. Florida State shot 35. 30 of Louisville's 45 free throws in the second half. And Louisville did a phenomenal job making it when they got to the line. They shot 80%. One of the big differences in that game was not just that Louisville got 10 more free throw opportunities than Florida State, but the fact that they made 36 of their 45, whereas Florida State was 66%, 23 of 35. You know, you're plus 13 from the foul line. You win the game by 9. That's a big deal. And Louisville is a team that was very well positioned to take advantage of what Florida State gives up on the defensive end. You look at Florida State's KenPom numbers. They are 348th out of 363 Division I teams in free throw to field goal ratio, which means teams are shooting a higher percentage of free throws as compared to field goals. Only 15 teams give up more free throws per field goals than Florida State does. Louisville's offense, on the other hand, we've talked about this, Coach Lieberman and I, many, many times, especially early in the season. Louisville's best offense was taking guys off the dribble one-on-one, trying to get into the lane and getting to the free throw line. Shots aren't falling. Having trouble getting some shots from the field going, which Louisville was able to hit shots from the field, especially in the paint on Saturday night as well. But end all be all, the goal was to get to the line, get to the charity stripe and make your free throws. Louisville is 20th in the country in free throw to field goal ratio. So that says, look, you're going to get a lot of free throws. You're going to draw a lot of fouls against an aggressive Florida State team. Another stat that goes off with that. 23.1 of Florida State's points given up have been from the free throw line. The 27th rather, highest rate in the country. Louisville's offense gets 24.2% of their points from the free throw line. The 12th highest in college hoops. Those two stats, to be going into the game, you say, okay, Louisville's probably going to be aggressive, especially when they get Tyler Johnson back, which they did in a huge way. We'll get that in a second. And Florida State's a team that isn't going to be disciplined enough to keep Louisville off the foul line. They're going to foul you and foul you a bunch. The ACC Network had the stat on the broadcast that the Noles' average game time going into Saturday, which Saturday's game was well over two and a half hours. I think it was 2:35. But their average game time was 2 hours, 13 minutes. They'd only played two games under 2 hours all season, according to the ACC Network broadcast. That's insanity. I get it. Yeah, we all make the jokes of, you know, games don't last two hours. Why do they have the two-hour time windows? But don't they have two games all year last under 2 hours? And to have, you know, multiple games, you know, that game went, again, 2:35. The broadcast that they had a game earlier this year, a regulation game, you know, 2 hours, 43 minutes. It's a lot of fouls. A lot of herky-jerky, hard-to-find-a-rhythm fouls. And you know what? That's the type of game Louisville plays. That's the exact style that Louisville likes to play. They not a lot of flow at times, but you know what? You're drawing fouls, getting to the free throw line, and hitting your foul shots. It's a very boring, bland thing to talk about, but to me, that was the biggest story of why Louisville was able to have so much success, because they knew what FSU struggled with. It played into Louisville's biggest strengths on the offensive end, and they were able to take advantage of it. Now let's get into the actual game itself, other than just, you know, statistical overlays. Obviously, you know, Tyler Johnson did not play in the Clemson game, was in foul trouble the Virginia game. He was, to me, the story of this game. Brad Huntley Hatfield was phenomenal also, but Tyler Johnson just was spectacular in this game. And for me, all you need to look at in terms of this game and to kind of see where this game was going, first 2 minutes where Tyler didn't start, Louisville didn't score. So yeah, you can say Louisville hung 103 in 40 minutes, whatever. They really hung 103 in 38 minutes because they were scoreless until Tyler Johnson came to the game. But you can see how much the game just changed once he came into the contest. And he did not come out of the game after that. He played all 38 minutes after he didn't start the game. And that's where Louisville, you know, obviously, I kept saying 103. They were at 101. I was confusing it with Tennessee there for a minute. That's my fault. 101 points Louisville scored, not 103. But you scored 101 points in 38 minutes. It was Kentucky that gave up 103 to Tennessee there. There on Saturday night. My fault on confusing that. That's completely on me. Feel free to, you know, laugh at me, comments, whatever. But 101 points. But Louisville, scoreless when Tyler comes into the game. Here are the first five possessions Louisville has after Tyler comes in. Tyler drives downhill versus the pressure, finds Caleb Glenn for a layup. Johnson beats the pressure himself, drives all the way, gets a layup for him. Tyler drives again. You see a trend here starting? Finds Caleb Glenn, who actually misses the layup, but that was a really, really good look. Then Tyler pulls up and hits an and one from the mid-range. After that, he drives, then kicks to Trey White for an open three, which he misses. But that's five possessions in a row there where you got either a bucket or a layup chance or a wide open three. And four of those five possessions were from Tyler penetrating that Florida State defense. They were phenomenal getting into the lane against Florida State. And Tyler Johnson is the biggest reason why. You look at those five possessions, that really set the tone for the rest of the game for Louisville. That's what said, okay, look, we're going to get into the paint whenever we want to. It doesn't matter what you're going to do defensively. Because Florida State really didn't change much defensively throughout the game. They just kind of, you know, kept doing what they do and thought it would eventually start working, which it clearly did not. And Len Hamilton's a great coach, but he didn't really make many adjustments in this game, to be quite honest. But they really, really did a great job of getting into the lane. I mean, there's a reason why Louisville scored, what was it, 50? Yes, 50 points in the paint. Now, Louisville gave up 54 points in the paint, but they were able to mitigate that mainly at the free throw line. But the Cardinals, and Johnson and Brandon Huntley Hadfield specifically, did a really, really good job of taking advantage of Florida State switches. Now, if you've watched Florida State throughout the years under Leonard Hamilton, other than, you know, they'll have the other seven-footers, but they're very much like, we're going to be the tallest team in the country, 1 through 5, and we're going to switch everything defensively to kind of take you out of your offense. And that works when you have, you know, you're playing Mufundu Kamigele at the 5-back of the day. You had Trent Forrest, all those dudes, you know, 6'5", Devin Vassell, uber-athletic, NBA-type players. It doesn't work as much when, yes, Florida State's still tall, but they aren't nearly the athletes that they used to have back when they were really in the heyday of the Leonard Hamilton era. And you can tell because when they would switch those 1-5 ball screens, one, Tyler could get by whoever switched onto him whenever he wanted to, and two, Brandon Huntley Hadfield feasted in the post against the smaller defenders that he was being switched on to. He was dominant. He played the best game. It's not an exaggeration for both Tyler and Brandon Huntley Hadfield. They both played the best games of their careers, and I don't know if it's particularly close to what the second one would be. I mean, they had the stat that Tyler was the first player to have a 20-12 game with assists at Francisco Garcia in 2004 against Murray State. I mean, that's hard to do. Francisco Garcia is one of the greatest players of all time. I loved him as a kid. those were the teams that got me into basketball. You know, him, Tyquan Dean, Reese Gates, all those guys. And you know, I remember him having that 15 assist game against Murray State. And for Tyler to be mentioned in that same breath, that's pretty damn impressive.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
And they were phenomenal there against those switches. And Florida State, you know, hung around most of the game, mainly because Louisville wasn't exactly stopping them on the defensive end either. But Louisville, there were two stretches, really, that were important in this game after the start of it, where Louisville was kind of able to build their lead out, number one, and to also, the one time Florida State threatened, pushed the lead back out to where it really wasn't much of a contest. It was just a free throw battle, the rest of the way. And Louisville really, we talked about it yet, the Clemson game, where, you know, I said with Phil Baker last week, Paul Rogers, you know, listening to the end of the first half while stuck in traffic after the Georgia Tech Carolina game when Clemson won that 29-9 run. That started the end of the first half. Paul Rogers said something, again, not a direct quote, paraphrasing it because I don't remember exactly what he said, but paraphrasing the quote of, at least Louisville waited until the end of the first half to collapse. It was the exact opposite against Florida State. I get it. Florida State's not as good as Clemson. Clemson is probably like an 8-9 seed-ish right now. Their NCAA tournament stock's definitely falling from where it was about a month ago, but I guess I think they would probably be in if it was today, but they're nowhere assured a lock. Florida State, especially after this game, is not going to be in the NCAA tournament. I can pretty much guarantee that at this point. They don't have good wins. They don't have a great resume. The Louisville loss, is a really bad loss. I mean, they also have losses to Georgia, South Florida, at SMU, at Lipscomb in the non-conference. Their best win is, looking at it right now, probably Wake Forest at home. Yeah, I mean, they also had a neutral court win over Colorado in overtime. I mean, it's just not a good resume. Like, that's just not an NCAA tournament resume. They don't have many chances to improve that later in the year because the ACC is not great. I mean, they get Duke at home. They would need to win that. Other than that, I mean, Clemson on the road. I mean, that's... I think eyeballing it, I have the KenPom page pulled up right now, not the actual bracketologist.com page, but I think those are the only two quad one games that they have left, and I'm not sure if they have a quad one win yet this year. At Miami, if they're still top 75 in the net, would be a quad one when they did win on the road in Coral Gables, but not really doing it. But anyways, long way of saying, different caliber of team. Even though Clemson's not great, they are better than Florida State. And Louisville, despite that, taking that out of it, complete 180 end of the first half from what they did up in Clemson last week. They ended the half, you know, they were up three with 3:05 left going into the last media timeout. Louisville then goes on a 10-0 run and ends the half on a 14-5 stretch to go out 12 at the break. That was tone-changing, game-changing, momentum, any phrase you want to throw in there, absolutely monumental for Louisville. And you look at how they did it. Again, all penetration, Curtis Williams, transition and one. Huntley Hatfield, pair of free throws. Tyler runs a 1-5 pick and roll with Huntley Hatfield, penetrates in the paint. Or actually, this was the one where Tyler lobs it over the defense to get to Brandon Huntley Hatfield. So let me rephrase that. Louisville gets a stop. Florida State fails to match up correctly on the other end to where a guard was cross-matched on BHH. in the post, Tyler has a big on him. Tyler does a really great job of recognizing the matchups and just simply lobs it over the entire defense with the small trying to front Huntley Hatfield. Great pass. BHH able to catch it, finish, and one easy, easy lob over the defense. Really, really great job there in execution from Tyler Johnson. Then Mike James, who had 18 points in the game, 14 of them were at the free throw line. That might be a biggest indictment of this game than anything else, that Mike James made two field goals and had 18 points, but was able to attack in transition, get to the free throw line to complete the 10-0 run. After Florida State gets within eight, Tyler gets fouled 94 feet from the basket. Really, just an incredibly stupid foul on Florida State's part. There's not really any way to describe it. He hits both free throws. Then Johnson gets a steal, finds Huntley Hatfield for a dunk to end the half. Just like that, you're up 12. You're sitting pretty. And that takes Louisville to the locker room instead of a back-and-forth first half where you're up maybe 3-5. You're up 12. Now you have a cushion to give you in case Florida State does make a run and you kind of revert back to, you know, a little bit of stagnant offense for a couple minutes, which is exactly what happened early in the first in the second half when Florida State went on an 8-0 run to get within 53-49. At that point, it was almost again flipped from a lot of the other games where Louisville would be down, usually, you know, a lot more than 12, but Louisville, we talked about it a lot, gets down really big early, makes a run to kind of get back the dragging distance, but can't sustain it. The other team kind of flips the switch again, and you end up losing by, you know, 15, 20 points. That was the whole thing I led with last week. But to Louisville's credit, they were able to turn the tables on it because they answered Florida State's 8-0 run with a 9-0 run of their own to where Tyler gets a switch on a pick and roll, drives, gets into the paint, and hits that behind-the-back pass to Brandon Huntley Hatfield for a dunk. Trey White, a rare defensive gem of a play from Trey White, gets a steal and passes ahead to Huntley Hatfield for another dunk. Florida State misses a dunk, which, yes, that's a little lucky, but sometimes you need a little luck. And then Tyler hits a step-back jumper on the other end. Then to cap off the run, Tyler hits Curtis Williams on a beautiful cross-court pass for a corner three. And then after that point, Florida State only got it within two possessions one other time the rest of the game after that run. And that was when they got within six with 40 seconds. That's when the game was essentially over. So that you were able to hold Florida State off of those two runs there. To where it was basically just back and forth free throws on each end. Really kind of bogged down later in that second half. Not much defense on either side. But Louisville did a very, very good job, again, of having their game plan executed. In the second half alone, Louisville only took 4 3-pointers. They hit two of them. But, you know, Louisville only took 11 threes on the game and scored 101 points. They only made three threes all game and scored 101 points. What does that mean? Number one, contrary to popular belief, there are other ways to score a lot of points other than just hitting a bunch of threes in modern college basketball. Not saying that Louisville's recipe should be going 3 for 11 from distance every game or only taking 4 3-pointers in the second half every game. But when you're doing something well and you're able to exploit a defense like Louisville did and draw 34 fouls on the other end, then yes, that's okay that you only hit three threes. They were only 27% from three. You only took four in the second half. You know why? Louisville saw that they weren't hitting from behind the arc. They saw where they were getting their success in the paint and from the charity stripe. And they said, why would we be settling for a bunch of three-pointers when we can get to the bucket whenever we want to? And the result of that was, again, 50 points in the paint for the Cardinals and 45 free throws. By the way, yeah, 30 of those points of the paint were in the first half. They gave up 34 points of the paint in the second half. They did. That's not great. But they shot 54% from the field in this game. And I would argue most of them were on dunks and layups. In fact, I got it pulled up right now. Louisville took 29 dunks and layups in this game. Made 20 of them. That's a pretty damn good percentage. They had 7 dunks in this game. In 81 possessions, 29 of the 81 possessions ended with a dunk or a layup. For those of you that are bad at math like I am, that's 35.8% of their possessions ended in a dunk or a layup. And you want to take it a step farther, 45 free throws. I'm not going to calculate and ones and all that, but we're just going to say, you know, 45 divided by two. We're just say roughly, you know, we'll give him an and one. 23 possessions ended at the free throw line. So that's 81 possessions, where 30 of them, 53 of the 81 possessions ended either at the free throw line or with a dunk or layup. That's 65% of your possessions. If you're doing that, then you're probably going to score a lot of points, especially when you turn the opponent over 18 times and have 22 points off those turnovers as well. So again, great matchup for Louisville, but more importantly than the matchup, they actually took advantage of that matchup to score, again, 101 points and be able to get a home conference win for the first time since beating Clemson in the Yum Center last year.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 each and every week of the college basketball season. We have a special offer that will be available starting on Tuesday, January 9th, and running through Monday, February 12th, the morning after Super Bowl 58. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, in honor of the big game, you can use the bonus code FIELD158 and you'll get $158 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD158. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You'll receive $158 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure that you use that bonus code FIELD158 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create separate accounts in each state. It's easy, it's simple, it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the heart of the college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odd boosts, and my favorite, a nice juicy parlay boost. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Field 158.
So what does this mean for Louisville long term?
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't really know. I to be honest, probably not much. But you know what? I wanted to take 25 minutes there and just give Louisville credit for playing probably the best game of the Kenny Payne era. I mean, it's either that or the Clemson game last year or the Miami game earlier this year. But I'd probably give this one an edge because, one, we've been over many times before. I think that Miami game had more to do with Miami than it did for Louisville, and they executed their game plan a lot better against Florida State than I feel like they did against Miami. So now you're entering a spot now where, talked about this with Mark Ennis a couple weeks ago from 93.9 The Ville. Louisville, from January 10th, really, through the rest of January, the ACC is not a good league. They're not. There may only be three teams that make the NCAA tournament. I'd argue Virginia should probably be one of those. I mean, Carolina, Duke, both locks. Virginia, very much on the bubble. Clemson, probably in at this point. Wake Forest, metrics really like them. They don't have a lot of good wins, and they're starting to struggle a little bit here the last couple weeks to where they're probably on the outside looking in right now. Miami has fallen off a cliff. They're not in. NC State, bubble, but on the outside looking in right now. But that's still the cream of the crop of the ACC, those 5-6 teams. And Louisville had NC State, Carolina, Wake Forest, Duke, Virginia, Clemson. That's the toughest stretch you can get in the ACC. And Louisville lost all six of those games. None of them were really particularly close. I mean, you made late runs against NC State and Clemson to try to make it interesting at the end, but let's be honest, there weren't really moments where we thought you were winning those games. And the question that was posed to both Ennis and I at that time going into that stretch was, if you lose all of these games and you get blown out in most of them, would that break the spirit of the team to where it doesn't really matter that you have a really, really easy stretch to end the year in February going into March? And that was the million-dollar question for Louisville. Not that, you know, it one way or the other saves Kenny Payne's job. I think it would take something miraculous to save his job at this point, which I just, to be completely honest, you don't see happening. Even in a game where you score 101, you only win by 9 because you give up 92 points to a Florida State team that, you know, is not good offensively. They're 124th offensively in KenPom. They're 210th in effective field goal percentage, and they shot 52% from the field. I still don't trust Louisville's defense at all. I mean, Louisville and KenPom, I believe, is 311th defensively. Yeah, that's where, or that's in Torvik, actually. But they're not a good defense on any sense of the word. They're historically atrocious on that end, actually. But to me, the question is, if you're playing a team that's not going to play into your strengths like Florida State does, are you going to be able to score 101 points? Louisville's offense has been good at times this year, but it needed to be at a special elite level to beat Florida State by 9. Can they be at that special elite level when they're playing other teams that, while may not be good or even as good as Florida State is, but they play a style that doesn't benefit what the 2-3 things you do really well? At the same time, Syracuse will be a good indicament of that, because you're going on the road to the Carrier Dome, or the JMI Wireless Dome, whatever the hell they call it now. It's the Carrier Dome. And you're playing a Syracuse team that's fallen off the bubble. They're not good. Probably the best thing they do is defend their, using my best friend KenPom here, 36th in Ken Pomeroy's defensive efficiency ranking. So they're good, not great defensively. But you look at them, they do play really fast. Their average possession length is about 16 seconds on defense, 16.8 seconds on offense. That's both top 100 nationally. The defense, they play the fifth fastest tempo of anyone in the country. And you look at, again, the two sets we looked at earlier, free throw percentage or free throw point distribution. Syracuse opponents only get 15.3% of their points from the free throw line. That's 333rd in the country. Again, to compare, Florida State opponents get 23.1% of their points from the charity stripe. That's 27th in the country. Louisville, again, top 20 offensively in that metric. But Syracuse is in the top 30 of limiting free throws in their point distribution. That's a very big difference. The free throw to field goal ratio, 26.8, that's 47th in the nation. Syracuse does a much, much, much better job than Florida State. That's going from one of the worst teams in the country at that to a top 50, top 30 team country and keeping you off the free throw line. How will Louisville be able to adjust to that? Because we've seen Louisville be able to, early on in the season against inferior opponents, get to the free throw line whenever they wanted to. Against Florida State, a team that fouls you a bunch, be able to get to the free throw line whenever they want to. But we've seen the Cardinals struggle in games like, you know, Virginia or Duke or NC State. Virginia especially, both times. Really, really struggle to get to the free throw line against teams that, one, are can match you athletically, which I think Louisville's probably a little bit more athletic than Syracuse. They're not the most athletic team in the world. But two, don't just gift you a bunch of fouls. So that will be the big challenge for Louisville, is they're probably going to have to hit some more threes than they did on Saturday. They're going to have to shoot the ball well. And Tyler Ward's going to have to, you know, show, can you back up your historic performance of 27 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds? Can you do it again? No, I mean, it's unfair to ask a guy to do 27, 11, and 6, but can you be the spoon that stirs the drink? And can you get into the lane like you did against Florida State, against the Syracuse team on the road? That would be a big question for Louisville. And, you know, can Brandon Huntley Hatfield, who's been really, really good, but hadn't been that level of good, can he? I think that's fair to assume that he's going to have, you know, probably not 29 again, but he'll be in that 13, 15 range, get, you know, 8, 9, 10 rebounds. He'll be good. Can, you know, Trey White, you're going to need him to score a point. He did not score a point in the Florida State game after having 27 against Clemson. Mike James will have to hit more than 2 field goals. And on the other end, I don't even know if it's worth saying at this point, can you defend Syracuse? Like, you know, can you keep Judah Mintz from going off? You know, Benny Williams. They got some guys that can score the ball a little bit. And Louisville hasn't put up much resistance to that all year. So if Louisville were to win that Syracuse game, then you go, okay, maybe. First of all, they would be winning 2 games in a row in the ACC for the first time in the Kenny Payne era. Then you go, okay, maybe they could go like 500 or something the rest of the year. You get, because you look at Louisville's schedule, it's not a good schedule. They're playing the bottom of a really, and the middle and the bottom of a really bad ACC. I mean, Florida State, not good. Syracuse on the road, not good. Georgia Tech at home. While they've beaten Duke and Carolina at home, they're not as good on the road. And they're, you know, very much year one Damon Stoudemire. They're, you know, still figuring out their identity, their culture, all that stuff, and they've been very up or down. Now, so you don't really know what Georgia Tech you're going to get there. Boston College on the road, not good. Pittsburgh on the road, not good. You know, they handled you already. The Yum Center, Notre Dame at home, Micah Shrewsbury, year one. They play hard, but they're just not very talented right now. The only game you'll get is that Duke game, February 28th at Garrett Indoor. You're not winning that game. I'm sorry. You're just not. But then Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Boston College at home to wrap up the year. These aren't good teams you're playing. So you have chances to where you can compete in most of these games, maybe win some of them, even though, again, KenPom only has you winning the Notre Dame game, though they give you a 47% chance to beat Georgia Tech, a 33% chance to beat Syracuse at home, 35% chance to get Boston College at home. I mean, just, I guess the big question is, even if Louisville were to win 3-4 games down the stretch, is there really a big difference between 7 and 25 or whatever, or 7 and 24 and 10 and 21? I don't, or 11 and 20. It's just not enough for me to say, yay, you feasted again, or not even feasted. You went 500 against the bottom of the ACC, of a really, really bad ACC. We should give KP a year 3. They would need to do something unprecedented that we have not seen anything that they're capable of doing yet, to be quite honest, if they're going to do that. All right, before we get out of here, I just want to hit on a couple other games around the country real quick from the weekend. Obviously, first time since 1994 that you had 3 top 10 matchups in one day. Absolutely phenomenal. We're just going to quickly run through them. Kansas, Houston, and I'll throw Kansas State here. In addition to that, I thought Kansas played by far their best game of the year on Saturday against the Cougars, to where the Jayhawks were able to, I'll put it this way. Houston had 4 defensive rebounds in the first half. And it was, had nothing to do with how poor or good of a rebounding team Houston is. They're a phenomenal rebounding team. Because Kansas only missed 5 shots in the first half. It was phenomenal. HoopVision 68 had a great video on Houston's pick and roll defense about how they blitz you and really, you know, trap you and make you incredibly uncomfortable and pressure you. Kansas was the perfect foil to that. DeJuan Harris, you know, been on campus forever, super, super experienced, making quick decisions to get it to KJ Adams on the quick roll, which is nothing you could use against that blitz on the high ball screen, being able to get quick, easy ball movement. They were hitting threes. Furphy and Kevin McCullough were on Saturday, to where that was super impressive from Kansas. They blew that game open in the first half. Houston made some adjustments as you know, they were going to, and kind of, you know, didn't get completely blown out, but that game was over after the first 20 minutes. It just was. Duke, Carolina, and Kentucky, Tennessee, I kind of throw in the same boat. We'll get to that soon, but Kansas, Kansas State, huge, huge win for Jerome Tang's ball club. I know he's a name that's been floated around for the Louisville job a bunch. They had been in a rut. They lost four in a row, but backs against the wall, needing a win for their NCAA tournament resume against your biggest rival, the best, you know, probably the best program in college basketball right now, Kansas. I guess, you know, UConn would probably take claim to that as well, but no one's had the sustained success over two decades that Bill Self has had. They get program wins. They win. They make a living out of stealing these types of games to be able to make enough plays to escape that one in overtime. Huge, 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 phenomenal win for Jerome Tang's ball club. And you can see him, like, I don't know how you can watch the post game of him in the student section going nuts, you know, dancing, doing all that stuff, and say, damn, that energy would be a lot of fun. It would be a great injection into what the mess Louisville has been the last few years. The type of positivity, energy, enthusiasm, that's what I want to see out of a college basketball coach. And Jerome Tang absolutely has that. Hadn't been a great year for him this year, obviously Elite Eight last year, but still right in the thick of the NCAA tournament discussion after getting that win over Kansas on Tuesday night. Duke, Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee kind of fell into the same bucket for me of RJ Davis, Dalton Knecht, Zach Edey's, you know, probably going to be the player of the year again in college basketball, be the first guy since Ralph Sampson to win the Wooden Award and the Naismith Award 2 years in a row. But RJ Davis, Dalton Knecht are probably numbers 2 and 3 for me. They've been spectacular. And both of those teams played huge rivalry games. Carolina hosting Duke, Tennessee traveling to Rupp Arena to take on Kentucky. Neither guy had his best game. RJ Davis, I believe, only had 4 points in the first half, finished with 17. Dalton Knecht shot 5 of 14 from the field. However, both of those teams were able to overcome that and win over their rivals easily. Carolina, Harrison Ingram was absolutely spectacular. He played his best game in a Carolina uniform. Perfect time for him to heat up from distance. Armando Bacot, we saw the Armando Bacot of old that we had been wondering about all year long. Is this guy still in there? He was absolutely dominating Kyle Filipowski. Ryan Young in the paint was absolutely huge as Carolina was able to hold off Duke. Kentucky, Tennessee. I give Carolina more credit than I do Tennessee for their offensive explosion, because one, Duke's a better defensive team than Kentucky is right now. And two, we've seen flashes from Carolina guys before. Like, we've seen Armando Bacot be a beast in past years. We know it's in there. Harrison Ingram's a good player. You know, Cormac Ryan's a dude that was a phenomenal spot-up shooter for Notre Dame the last few years. Ella Cadeau, top recruit, which that's how the Carolinas got to figure out. Cadeau, as great as he is, super, super great forward general, pass first, traditional point guard, incredibly speedy, really good defensively, but he's going to have to knock down some shots. It's going to have, or else Carolina's going to get stuck playing 4-on-5 in the half court, kind of like how Ty Rogers in Illinois does from time to time over in the Big Ten. But I trust Carolina's offense more because I've seen it from them in the past to where they can step up when RJ Davis doesn't have a Superman type game. Tennessee, you know, Zakai Ziegler scores 26. He hadn't done that all year. You know, they score 103 points, actually 103 this time, not 101, like I was saying with Louisville earlier, but they were able to just absolutely shred Kentucky again. And to me, that, whereas Carolina is more of an indictment on Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee is more of an indictment on Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky defensively has been really damn bad all year, man. And getting the seven-footers back hasn't helped them the way that John Calipari was hoping. Getting a Duke Thiero back from injury after being out for a couple weeks isn't helping. Kentucky's gone from being probably a 2 or 3 seed. I know a lot of Louisville fans probably enjoyed it, so hearing this, to being in like that 5-6 range in the NCAA tournament right now. So they have a lot to do to kind of try to right the ship, because if they don't defend, they're not going to make it out of the first weekend. They're just not. You cannot win 3-4 NCAA tournament games in a row if you're routinely giving up 90 points. Or in this case, obviously 103 points. But Kentucky's in a very tough spot now to where they need to kind of reinvent that themselves. We'll see what happens with the DJ Wagner situation. And they got to find some answers on the defensive end or else they're in a whole heaping, pile of trouble. I couldn't help myself. I had to do my, 9 minutes on those three games. I was hyped. I love it. I mean, you had three top 10 matchups in one night. Going to be a blast. Anytime that happens, that happens in 1994. So that's all we got for this edition of Floyd Sheets Finals. We'll be back with Coach Lieberman. We talk about maybe doing something later in the week, either that or the weekend. But we'll be back soon. Again, just wanted to make sure I got something out with the Louisville Florida State game going as it did on Saturday night. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. We'll catch you guys next time here on Floyd Street's Finest.
The headlines remind us daily the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.